Okay, look at this. We are all the way to 6 o'clock p.m., at which time I am obligated, per the licensing regulations handed down by the Federal Communications Commission, to tell you that you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, where you just continue to hear so much good music this week. What is going on here? What indeed? Oh, look at that. Thank you, Kier. Thank you for caring to call. Didn't call the studio line, though. Didn't give me the distracting flashing light in the corner of my eye, which is like a little angel coming to visit when people call. Anyway, let's catch you up on what you just heard. Most recently, you heard from Gracie Horse with Hollow Head from the 2023 album, I have to call it L.A. Stuff because I can't say the actual name, thanks to, again, the same FCC. Gracie Horse will be one of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 22 bands playing on the weekend of the 15th and the 16th at the Armory in Somerville on Highland Ave in Boston Fuzz Festival, Fuzzdival, 2023. Lots and lots of great acts in this. Landowner, Baby, Explorers, Janine's, New England Patriots, Editrix, Wrong, Nice Guys, Open Head, Strange Passage, Ski Club, Thus Love, Mal Divisa, Cliff Notes, Dino Gala, Pink Navel, Gift, Foyer Red, Constant Smiles, Boston Cream, Paper Lady, and Lazy. In addition, of course, to Gracie Horse. Hopefully you can get some part of that. Before that, we heard from The Who with When I Was a Boy, off of 1982's release of Oddities from back in the history of The Who. That song was actually something like 1970. It was one of the songs from the Who's Next recordings, but so 2 weeks ago, you may know that I had to abandon my show due to some complications. My whole playlist I had put together kind of just vanished and then resurfaced. But I just decided to not try to wing 2 hours that I planned out. But that was part of it, because that was very focused on my own pending change of age. And songs like When I Was a Boy, with lines like, when I was a boy, I had the mind of a boy, but now I'm a man, ain't got no mind at all. Just felt very appropriate. So anyway, a few of those songs trickled into this one, and more will come. Before that, we heard from the Radiator Rattlers with Summer Is Over from 2015. And their album, Hold On, from right here in the Boston area, and we opened up that set. Is summer over? I don't know. I'm wearing flip-flops and shorts right now. Sunglasses perched atop my head. You tell me. But anyway, we opened up that set with Keir Burns and the Kettle Burners with a brand new one called All Gone Wrong from Keir's new act. Keir Burns and the Kettle Burners will be playing at Indian Ranch tomorrow with George Thorogood. Not bad, Keir Burns and the Kettle Burners, who I happened to see last night at the latest installment of the Race Cancer series happening down on the Marsh Post, at the Marsh Post on the Charles River. Keir and the boys have been tearing it up. All right, it is Labor Day, right? Labor Day weekend, what does that mean? Well, let's talk about labor. Let's talk about work. This next set is one of my favorite things. We have a few clips of the legendary Studs Terkel, who did in 1974 a terrific book called Working. And if you haven't picked it up, it's still relevant today. It's people talking about their jobs, people talking about what they mean to them. This show, in fact, was kind of born out of an idea of doing an interview show with people about jobs that they love. That might see the light of day someday. We'll see. But anyway, I'm going to play you a few of those interviews that Studs Terkel did to create that book, which are really terrific. There's an archive of his recordings, hours and hours worth of stuff out there, and you can listen to some of that yourself. But in the meantime, here are a few of those clips.
I'm somewhere between Youngstown and Warren, Ohio. It's an industrial area, steel, automobiles. Talking to Gary Briner. Gary Briner is the president of Local 1114, United Auto Workers. No, 1124.
1112.
Well, what sort of plant is this?
It's the General Motors Vega plant in Lordstown.
The most automated plant in the world, isn't it?
Right. It's the fastest line speed in the world, and they've got the most modern equipment, the Unimates. They got 22 in a row, 11 on each side of the line.
Can you describe a Unimate?
Well, it looks like a robot, you know, and it reminds me of a praying mantis. When they took the Unimates on, we were building 60 an hour prior to the Unimates. And when we came back to work with the Unimates, we were building 101 cars per hour. See, they never tire, they never sweat. They never complain. They never miss work. They're always there.
Yeah. So what happened to the guys in the plant that are working there now?
It's a funny thing, you know, when they revamped the plant, they tried to take every movement out of the guy's day so that he could conserve seconds and time so that they could make him more efficient, more productive.
Is the assembly line approach dependent upon the fact that each guy is exactly like the other guy?
Right. GM's reason for trying to be more efficient is that if they could take 1 second and save a second on each guy's effort, they would, over a year, make $1 million.
1 second?
That's right. You know, they used the stopwatches. And they say, look, we know from experience that it takes so many seconds to walk from here to there. We know that it takes so many seconds to shoot that screw. We know the gun turns so fast and the screw so long and the hole so deep. We know how long it takes. And that's what that guy's going to do. And our argument has always been, you know, that's mechanical, mm-hmm. That's not human. Look, we tire, we sweat, we have hangovers, we have upset stomachs, we have feelings, emotions, and we're not about to be placed in a category of a machine.
This is something new, isn't it? The workers in the plant, they feel that they have a right in determining the nature of their work too, the working men?
We do now. We have some kind of pride. Being able to stand up to the giant General Motors Corporation and say, look, this is what I think is fair, and I'm willing to fight to show you that it's fair. I just think they want to be able to be treated with dignity and some respect, and you know, that's not asking a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it takes me back. I'm Gary Briner, retired, have been for 11 years. I didn't plan to be a union guy. I just wandered into it. In 1966 through 75, maybe later, the company and the union were bitter enemies. Every gain we made usually came out of a strike, and that's just the way it was. But the job of the union today is much tougher than it was for me in 1970 because the strength of the union has been so weakened. And look, the union's not perfect. I'd be the first to say it. But, you know, what we did in the union is to create this middle class that were able to do things, enjoy their life outside of work. And I worry about these things that we're losing. But listen, you got to have a job. No matter what it is, you got to have a job. It's one of those things that must be.
Picking it up with Gary, you feel this is shape of things to come?
I hope that it is, because I think what we're doing is right. You know, we're putting humans before profits, and I think that's necessary. I think if it isn't that way in other places, it should be.
I'm talking to Sharon Griggins, you're about 17 going 18.
Mm-hmm.
And you work for Illinois Bell.
Oh, yes. My Bell. See, when you dial the operator, that's what you get. You get someone like me. When you dial O.
Oh, when they dial O, mm-hmm. we get you.
That's it. Because this is the only telephone office in Waukegan.
Could you describe it?
So, it's a big, long room, about half the size of a gymnasium, I would say, and it's down both sides, there's a whole row of switchboards.
How close is the girl sitting next to you?
Oh, very close. I would say she'd be sitting not even 5 or 6 inches away from me.
Is that cramped?
Yeah, we're cramped.
Yeah. So now describe it step by step, as though you were telling a little child what it is.
Okay, now first of all, in front of you, you've got about 7 pairs of cords and all these lights that tell you where the calls are coming from. When a light goes on, that means there's someone waiting there, and you plug in and you ask them what they want.
Do your arms get tired?
No. Your mouth gets tired. It's the strangest. You get tired of talking.
What do
you
mean?
Been talking for so long because you talk constantly for 6 hours. And it's hard.
Keep going on this point.
Well, you get to feel just like a machine because essentially you're on this level of about 7 or 8 phrases that you use.
And like what?
You say, good morning, may I help you? Operator, may I help you? Oh, then it's, what number did you want? Or I have a collect call for you from so-and-so. Will you accept the charge? Something like that.
You said it's pretty hard.
It is because what you're doing is like monotonous work. But for me, it's a great temptation to talk. Like when I'm bored, I make some little comments or something, or I talk with a Southern accent or Puerto Rican accent. You try and make your voice really sexy and just see what kind of reaction.
When you horse around.
Yeah, I do. But if you get caught talking with the customer, that's one mark against you.
Well, because the company says you can't get too personal.
Yeah, you can't. You know, some people, they'll say, operator, I'm lonesome. Will you talk to me?
People do say that? Really?
They say, I'm lonesome. Will you talk to me?
And
you couldn't. I says, gee, I'm sorry. I really can't. But you can't.
You're doing a great deal of talking, but the talk has nothing to do with actual human communication.
Right. That's very true. It's not really a lonely profession or anything, but it's one where you not a whole lot of communication, even though that is your job.
Sharon, you're quite marvelous, really. Do you see yourself as a telephone operator for the rest of your life?
No, 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 never, never.
I did not become a career telephone operator. My name is Sharon Griggins. Back in 1972, I was a telephone operator in Studs Terkel's working. You know, I really remember working there very vividly. And I don't know, maybe that job helped me develop a keener ear for what people need and what people want. I think I became a really good listener. But let's get real. I don't think there's much romance in the work of a telephone operator. I think about some poor person at the end of that line who's sitting in a cubicle somewhere, saying the same things, taking down the same numbers for 8 hours a day. You know, automation is great in today's world, but it's hard to automate everybody's wishes and wants. I mean, we've all had those situations where all you want to do is talk to somebody and all you have is a list of menu options. You know, I still tell my kids, just always pick zero.
Do you feel a machine could replace you one day soon?
Oh, sure.
Hmm?
Sure. It'd have to be some machine, though, because if people knew how funnily they talked, how badly they pronunciate, how hard it is to understand some people, a machine would have a hard time.
We're sitting with Hotz Michaels. If you want to noodle at the piano, you can, fine. At the piano bar, people sit around the piano, and they're drinking. It's now cocktail hour, about 6 or so. Hotz, how long have you been playing here?
I started here in 1952, Studs. When I started here, we had 6 piano players per night, the strolling violins, and we had a full orchestra. I am the last live entertainment of the Sherman Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your work. Describe your work.
Well, piano playing is secondary. It's kind of background music for talking, people getting together. Out-of-town visitors, businessmen talking over whatever deals of the day they had to talk over, lawyers. It's a great gathering spot for lawyers. Give us a drink over here.
What generally are the subjects that people on the piano bring up? Talk about personal things with you?
Very.
Like what?
Marriage.
Domestic problems.
Domestic problems. The saloons are kind of full of lonely people, trying to fill an empty hour or two, a void in their life somewhere, you know. Stutz, can you excuse me one moment?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, Jeannie. Hi, honey. Nice to see you girls.
What are you having downstairs?
Oh, we're just kind of having fun here, taping a show. This is Mr. Stutz Kirk of here, girls.
So, you are the only live musician right now?
In the Sherman Hotel.
What is it has happened?
Well, number one, when television came in and came in strong, it put a terrible dent in live entertainment. No question about it. Number two, I think a little bit of fear.
Fear. Inner city, is what you mean?
Sure, people that I know well, haven't been downtown in 2-3 years.
This then is connected with the move to the suburbs.
Absolutely. With the amplified music, as you can hear on the jukebox, that's...
Right now. There never was a jukebox before.
There never was a jukebox in Hotel Sherman until recently.
Do you have fears of work coming to an end?
Absolutely. The first many years of this business, I drank. And I think I drank because I was afraid. I haven't drank in 8 years, and I'm still afraid.
Really?
Sure. Not afraid of growing old. Afraid of what lies ahead. What happens? I've watched a lot of other piano players that I know that are 60, 63 years old. And I don't like what I see.
As we finish our conversation, you mentioned this business. You said this business.
It is a business. A definite business. I'm here to create selling of liquor, and that's how I derive my salary. It is a business.
You weren't thinking of it as an art form.
I don't really think of it as an art form, because I never thought much of myself as an artist. I know my limitations. It was very frustrating years ago, but I learned my limitations, and I'm glad I learned them. I was a lot happier for it.
Do you have any favorites, hon?
Good night, Consul.
Here's an old waiter coming down to these steps. I met Studs through a mutual friend called Chet Roble. I worked with Chet for 10 years at this hotel. 10 years straight we worked together. Very talented guy, very artistic.
Way back with George Goble and Helsing's and here, the fixtures. Hops and Chet were, in a sense, almost institutions. Flesh and blood institutions. Let me see what the sounds like.
get up in the morning to join the common herd. Your lot is a hard one, or so I have heard. I know how hard it is.
Hear the fuzz of the hiss of the air conditioner in the background here. Sometimes I turn it off when I go on mic. But it's getting late in the show here now. We are wrapping up the third half hour of four, if you want to look at it that way. Having just come from a very labor-intensive set. Actually, it wasn't very labor-intensive at all. Labor Day. Labor as in work intensive. Theme-wise. We just heard from the Upper Crust, everyone's favorite local act of patricians of the 17th century. Singing to us about how hard it is to be rich, in that case, with Friend of a Friend of the Working Class. That's, of course, off of their debut release from 1995, Let Them Eat Rock. The Upper Crust are sadly no more, but they have led us. They've left us such a huge legacy of wonderfully pompous rock. Prior to that, we heard from Jim McHugh with his track Abolish Work from 2020's The Masher Says Abolish Work and Employment Now. Well, Masher, we shall see. We shall see. I don't know. I don't know. I've been having my own Summer of George here, but yeah, that too must end. We all must find a way to put the food on the table. Before that, we heard three interviews with from Studs Terkel, as I mentioned prior, from the interviews he did back in the early 70s. I think those are from 1970, in the process of crafting his 1974 magnum opus, Working. Terrific, terrific book. I have two copies of it, in fact. If you would like one, let me know. Maybe I can find one for you. Take my books. Take them all. just kidding. Can't have any of them. And that was that set. What else can I tell you? I don't know. I guess I'll just keep playing you music. It's going to be a short mic break. Nothing spectacular to say. Some interesting news, of course, lately here in the local music scene about Toad. Someone has purchased the business, the property, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And they are going to reopen something there that's going to be something like what's there. But I, among my friends, am probably the lone skeptic because I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know who it is. It's apparently someone who's been there hundreds of times. So I probably know them, but I just don't know. I just don't know anything. They are open until September 16th in the current incarnation. You have a lot of chances to get down there. You also today have a chance to get on down to the former Atwoods, now called Satellite, which is a satellite location of Remnant Brewing. And good luck to those guys. God knows it was great. It was a great pairing for them to step in there and fill that space because they've already been a great presence in the community. Good luck, Remnant, and good luck to all of you down there right now. We're not listening. Anyway, all right. That's the local music scene news segment. Maybe that should be a thing. Anyway, let's get on it. We have 28 and a half more minutes here of In You All Along on WMFO. So stay tuned.
things become matters of contention. Some of the things we've had to do, I'm not about to mention. I won't second guess something done in the panic of the moment. I'll admit the scale requires something like atonement. The men I answer to require answers in this town. Get your folks together, Ted. Shit is coming down. We're not riding bikes!
It's a bad thing to... the present, the future links now.
Present, me, montage, tech, when you.
we are quickly screaming fast, heading into the end of these 2 hours here of In You All Along. So I'm gonna catch you up in the remaining time here. What the heck have I played? What the heck have I played? I don't even know. I've basically just abandoned my own script here for the show. But currently behind me is 808 State with Pacific State. Oh, that's off of a 1989/90 release. I'm not sure. I think it originally came out in the UK in 1989, and I think in the US in 90. And it was the album was called 90, but in the United States it was called United State 90. I see now. That was released late. It was released in June of that year. Anyway, too much information. I never listened to this at the time. It was advertised on the Personic system. If you know what the Personic system is, that was basically you would go into a record store and they would have a database from which you could select songs out of a book and write them down on a list. And they would give it to the clerk, and they would make you the tape or the CD or whatever. And they would always do a little ad for United State 90 when I would use that thing. So it worked 33 years later. Before that, we heard from Eguía Castillo and his orchestra with Con Calma from the 2006 album Palladium Tradition. I played you that. Because sorry, I'm just reading a cranky text. Anyway, I ran into a buddy of mine last night, Mr. Brian Burke, who told me that Zoomix is one of the partners. He's involved with Zoomix over there in East Boston Music Program. There is a East Boston second annual Latin Music and Dance Festival happening on Saturday, September 9th. Live music from Eguía Castillo and his orchestra. La Clave Secreta, Veronica Robles Mariachi Band, La Chusma, and Porque Puma. And there'll be a bunch of dance performers there as well. Prior to that, we heard from